Welcome to Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building a big business and even bigger life. I'm your co-host, Tiffany Fikes.
I'm Wendy Papazan.
And I'm Seychelle Van Poole. Hi, everyone. We're so happy to be on with you today. We are going to talk about something really cool. It is this thing called Blue Zones. Have you guys heard of this before?
I have. I'm really excited to talk about it.
I know. I'm really excited about it too. So I had heard about them, but I'm gonna admit my own ignorance here. I hadn't like really dug into it before. And no, if you're wondering, it is not the Blue Man Group in Las Vegas. This is something totally different by a guy named Dan Buettner. And Dan was hired by National Geographic to go study the world's healthiest and oldest populations by National Geographic a long time ago. And he started studying in like these five different places where people, like the most people live to 100. And these got dubbed blue zones. And we thought this would be really cool to kind of break down for you guys today because we talk about a lot like building a big business and more importantly, an even bigger life. And for us, part of that big life is really a big, long, healthy, robust life. And so we are going to dive
into
this.
You know, we read that book by Peter Attia, and he talks about health. He talks about health span.
Yes.
The book is called Outlive. We can put that in the show notes.
I'll put it in there.
There's this idea that, you know, it's great that we're all living longer. And if we're not living a healthy life, and
the last
20 years of our life are compromised, then that's not what we want. So I just love that idea of not just lifespan, but health span.
100%.
And so that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
So
I think that's fantastic.
As a total aside, one of the best dates I ever went on was I saw the Blue Man Group in New York City.
I got to see them too. And it's so fun. They're so fun.
It's so fun.
I was going to say the Blue Man Group may actually – operate like the Blue Zone. They do a lot probably of what we've talked about. Now
that's
there's some
true.
Marshmallows involved.
Yeah,
but
that's true. Uh-huh. That's true. Yeah, it was a Valentine's Day date. And we went to Blue Man Benihana and then Blue Man Group. It was probably one of the best dates I ever went on.
We actually went to the Blue Man Group for our honeymoon. We did our honeymoon in New York and we saw that show.
So fun. When was that? What year?
I was on a date with that, but it was fun.
2003. Was it the same? Were you there?
we had left New York by then. So, yeah.
So close.
So close. This would have been in the mid-90s. Yeah.
Okay.
Mid-90s. Shout out to Rick Perlstein.
Who that was the name?
Man.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Yeah. Rick, if you're out there, just know you left a lasting impression.
Rick is a pretty famous New York Times bestselling author too, coincidentally.
Hmm. Do you only date best-selling authors?
Yeah.
I have dated a few.
I'm a muse,
apparently.
You have good taste. You have good taste in authors. I love that. Well, yeah. So we're going to dive in today to the 9 habits that Dan breaks down in Blue Zones on how these populations live big, healthy lives. And something, if you want to dig deeper into this, that's really cool, is he's now started consulting with cities. And so there's 4 different cities in the United States he's already consulted with. And I think this is really cool because there are 4 different areas. So he's worked with Beach Cities, California. He's reduced the obesity with the city by 25% and the tobacco use by 36% by these tweaks.
Wow.
He's gone to Albert Lea, Minnesota, and they've reduced the healthcare claims in
Albert
Lea,
Minnesota?
Uh-huh. They've reduced the healthcare claims by 49% and have increased the life expectancy in that city by 3 years. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy. And in Fort Worth, they've been working to connect safe routes for kids from neighborhoods and areas into schools. So they're lowering the BMI of the childhood obesity population by actually giving kids like routes to their school. So they're just, it's really fascinating to me. That this is not like a you need to go revolutionize your world and completely change everything. His theory is if you change things about your environment and tweak them, not like drastically move to like Greece, but like you you make tweaks in your environment will adapt your behavior. And so we're going to talk about that today and dive into the 9 habits or tweaks that you can make in your life to live longer. But I just entering in, I don't want you to think we're going to tell you to like go completely turn your world upside down today. We're actually going to talk about small, meaningful, thoughtful changes that you can make in your environment that will adapt to your behavior, which I think is really cool.
Very cool. I'm excited to learn.
Yeah. Okay. So let's jump in. Let's start with the first of the 9 habits that were consistent across multiple geographic areas. These blue zones were multiple different areas around the world where there's centurions and people who live over 100, the largest population of women over 70. Like these are the people that were studied to come up with these. So number one, move naturally. What that means, I always tell, anytime I do anything, I'm like, I'm doing functional exercise right now. Like if I'm carrying my groceries up, like this is functional exercise.
Yes.
So it doesn't have to mean you need to do intense exercise sessions all the time, but rather just consistent movement throughout the day. One of the things that I always talk to Joshua about when we're in New York is I just love how much more we walk, we move our bodies. Like everything we do involves moving our body.
Yeah.
You know, walking, biking to coffee shops. You can do that. One of the things when I first came back from New York, the first time we lived there for a period of time, I stopped moving my car in parking lots and I would just park one place and then I would walk to the grocery store and back to my car and then I'd go to the store in, you know, on the other side of the shopping center and go back to my car. And
love
you know just
that.
Like little things like that, because I was like in New York, I would walk much further than this. Why am I moving my car?
Well, and you don't see as many obese people in New York at all.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
well, you
people
also
in New York
see
are much thinner.
Older people who are still
moving,
chucking along down the sidewalk.
Same with Europe. Same with Europe. Yeah. Same thing. Yeah. You know, people are going and they're walking and they're getting their groceries. And, you know, it's not this like, I'm going to go to Costco every 2 weeks and just load up my cart and then throw it all in the freezer. People are buying their groceries every day. It's a very, just very different lifestyle.
It's a totally different lifestyle. I know when we moved back from New York to back home to Dallas, Fort Worth, like where we moved first and lived for 3 years, I was like peeling off the walls because we were in like a super suburban, you had to drive everywhere area. We ended up moving to Oak Lawn and it was walkable. And I loved it because on Saturday morning, I would just leave in the morning and have it my bag and I'd go walk and do all my errands and then walk back home. And like where we live now in Oak Cliff is the same thing, like walking to shops and restaurants and grocery stores and coffee shops. And like it just – I feel so much happier having that outdoor time to be able to do those things. It really just if that fills you up, it's so nice to have areas and parts of different parts of the country where you can actually do that and you can find it.
Yeah. Well, and you can build it into your schedule with intention. So when my kids were little and I didn't have the ability to like just walk out the door when I wanted to go on a walk, our team, we actually did, I did my coaching call on a walk, always took my coaching call on a walk. And then any coaching that I did with my team, we actually did in a walk. And there's two benefits to that. Number one, you're getting to move your body. You both are getting to move your body. Number two, better conversations happen without the intense eye contact. And so like they say to do it with your kids too. Like, you know, when you want to talk to your kids about something, go on a walk because they'll talk to you more if they're not having to look you in the eye when they say whatever the uncomfortable thing is. And so, and I saw that with my team too. Like they were willing to tell me more truth and more depth to what they were really feeling when we went on walks to do our coaching sessions. So we picked this, or we would create this really weird route through parking lots around the office, but like we made it work. And we did that for about 2 years because I needed the exercise. And then it had this other benefit for the business as well.
That's awesome.
So smart. So smart. Yep. Yeah. Well, and then number two habit is really just having purpose. So the Okinawans call it a Ikigai. I'm probably not going to pronounce that right. And the Nicoyans call it Plan de Vida, which for both, it translates to why I wake up in the morning. And so you guys, you listeners know how important having a sense of purpose is and running towards your joy. And we talk about that a lot here. So for most of you, you probably nailed it. But for a lot of people out there, it's just, you know, they think that they are born, go to work, pay their bills, and die. And the truth is, we're all here on this planet for a very special reason. And if you don't know what that reason is and you're not running towards it, then your job is to figure that out. So, and that doesn't necessarily mean work. So it could look like hobbies. It could look like volunteering. It could look like personal interests. It just having a sense of purpose literally linked people to longevity. I can remember I read a study once about elderly people in nursing homes who ended up living longer because they were given a plant to take care of.
Yeah.
So as small of a sense of a purpose as that. So I just would ask you guys, like, what hobbies, you know, what purpose have you been working on lately? So, yeah. And the other thing is that he found that people who enjoy their work environment are just far more likely to have a best friend at work. And all the studies show that who you surround yourself with at work really matters, and people are a lot less likely to leave if they have relationships at work. So are we doing things as business owners to foster friendships on our team and businesses that really foster strong bonds? I know for us, COVID was amazing for our team because we were a relatively new team at that point. A lot of people had fallen out the year before. And so 2020 was, I worked really, really hard to create a lot of bonding on our team. And that has sustained us since then.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and it's just a good reminder for me right now. Like, we need to make sure we're still doing that right now in real estate when the market is hard and all of that. Because that can easily be the first thing that slips away because everybody needs to put their head down and work. And so that's a good reminder for me. What are we doing at our work to foster the friendships and relationships that give people the purpose to enjoy their work more?
So. Yeah.
Yeah. We just played mini golf this week, which was so fun.
That's great.
Yeah. We went out and played mini golf.
That's awesome. Well, and then number three, I love that I get to do this one because it's a good reminder for me personally that we need to downshift every day. And what that means is the reminder that chronic stress leads to inflammation both in our nervous systems but also in our neurological systems, and that's associated with every major age-related disease. Like, just like I when I was researching, I was like, "Ooh, that is a big deal." You know, and I've told, like, you know, Wendy and Tiffany this, but I truly believe that my dad's Parkinson's flared more aggressively and younger because he was chronically stressed out and in the middle of a very heavy crisis moment in his business right before he turned 50. And I there's zero doubt in my mind that that caused a much more aggressive early onset of Parkinson's. He might have gotten it later, but I do with all my heart believe that that happened at an early age. So this one is especially, like, personal for me, and that, like, dear Seychelle, and maybe all of you too, but selfishly for me too, like, hey, stress lives in your body and sits on you. Yeah, Wendy.
Well, one of the nice things, you know, I just got back from Spain, so of course I'm like looking at all these things through my Spain filter. And one of the great things that they do is they literally have a community lunch every day. Mm-hmm. You know, their day is set up. So from 2:30 to 4:30, they go home, they have a big lunch, they hang out with their family, they take a little nap, and then they go back to work. And, you know, it's definitely different. And it's a lovely, lovely break in the middle of the day. I mean, and people are, you know, if you're gonna rush in and have a 15-minute lunch, people think you're insane.
Yeah.
You know, it's literally the culture of the country where it's like, you know what, let's just enjoy it. Let's have a glass of wine at lunch, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I love that because, you know, what the world's longest living population have that we don't are routines to physically shred that. Like, shed and shred that stress. And so, you know, to me, Wendy, what that is that, like, this, and I love the Spanish culture, like, they have created a ritual around a physical decompression in the middle of the day. And like, you know, in Japan, the Okinawans take a few moments each day to remember their ancestors. Like the Adventists in California, they pray. Like, you know, in Costa Rica, they take a nap. Sardinians do a happy hour. So like each of these cultures have a something. And maybe if your culture doesn't do it, maybe your team does something to shred stress during the day, or your family does something. Like I know for me, I actually have on my alarm every day, I have an alarm set that's literally like a reminder. It's called my chill out alarm. And it literally is a reminder for me to just like take a moment and take some deep breaths and do some box breathing and like put all my tech away and like go do something that brings joy and like gets rid of stress. And so whether that could be like meditation or taking a nap or having, you know, a cup of coffee or a glass of wine or a meal shared with someone or breathing or time outside, whatever that is, like identifying what will help you lower your cortisol and lower your stress levels on a regular basis, not like once a month where you need to take like a sabbatical, but right. like on a daily basis to really be able to sustain your energy and help you lower that stress.
Yeah. One of the things that I started on our team, and I've told y'all about this before, but we have an end your day with a win. Like we have two always things. You always never have your phone at meetings, and you always end your day in a win. And that Love is that. Because it's literally for this right here. Like at the end of your day, I want you to have, first of all, I want you to have an end of the workday, even though the industry doesn't quote unquote tell you to do that. But at whatever point of time is your end of the day, we get out our phone, we take a deep breath, we replay the day and find something that was a win. No matter how the day went to hell in a handbasket, there was something to be called a win. So you take a deep breath, you put win of the day into Slack, and then you put it away. And like that's your like rhythm of
I love
ending.
That.
Yeah. So
oh, that's awesome. I love that.
So you steal it. It's so good. I had my agents, one of my agents had literally, she was like, this is the worst day in real estate I've ever had. And I was like, yep, I've had that day before. And that's why win of the day was created. You're gonna get to the end of it and you're gonna be able to put it away at the end. So yeah. It's a good rhythm to have.
That's extremely cool.
Okay, number four, the 80% rule. We hear all kinds, like we talk about 80% of everything. If your employees can do it, 80% is good, you're good. Don't do the things that don't get you the results, 80%. So it'll be easy to remember, 80%. And it is Harahachi Bu. Harahachi Bu. So the Okinawa use this mantra before they eat. So it's like their rhythm before they eat. And it's a Confucian mantra that reminds you to stop eating when your stomachs are 80% full, which I just think is so smart. I've never heard of this before. This was brand new for me. So I've heard of this.
Well, Seychelles told me about this.
Seychelles.
Apparently Big Seychelles fan. Has been harahaching all
forever.
The time.
Forever.
Before you even knew about blue
and we were doing harahachi before this is cool. Okay, guys. Like, so, you know, like so many of us are raised with this
it's
idea.
It's a 2,500-year-old Confucian mantra.
Okay, fine. So, Confucius say he's cooler than I am.
I don't think you were doing it before it was cool.
Yeah. I'm close. I'm going to be a close second, maybe behind the entire Japanese culture, but maybe a third. So what's interesting about this is like so many of us in the United States were raised with this, like, you're going to clean your plate, finish all of the food I gave you, like eat three more bites of this. And when Nick and I started dating, like I just kind of adapted, like I had heard about this and I was like, that's brilliant. Like you eat until you're satisfied, not till you're full. You eat till you're satisfied is kind of the mindset. And it got in such a good rhythm that like we would be at a date or something and I would eat till I was satisfied. Nick is like, that is the best meal I've ever had. You're leaving food on your plate right now. And I was like, I'm so happy right now. Like that was such an amazing meal and I am happy. Like I feel content and happy and like as full as I need to be. And it like, it's become now like kind of a joke in our household where we'll all eat and it's like when someone's done, they'll literally be like harahachi. Like I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm 80% full.
Well, it's the difference between eating to be full and eating to not be hungry.
Yes.
So, like
yes.
just eat mm-hmm. to not be hungry.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different things around like eating. But another thing, and Wendy, you already talked about it, like having your biggest meal in the middle of the day
mm-hmm.
makes a lot of sense. And so in the Blue Zones, they eat their smallest meal at the end of the day, late afternoon, early evening, and then they don't eat anything else. So be like the Spaniards. Eat a big, lovely mm-hmm. meal.
It's not early. It's not early evening. It's late evening.
Well, they yeah, eat. Theirs yeah, is that's very true.
Late. Yeah.
They that's eat at 10 o'clock at night. Late. Yeah. Yeah.
So do have you know a big why? Lunch.
Can I tell you guys why? This is totally random. But it's super interesting.
Tell me.
Yeah.
So the reason Spanish culture is the way it is in the 1940s during World War II, Franco wanted to align Spain with Germany. Mm-hmm. And so even though at the time Spain was in the same time zone as Britain, because mm-hmm. If you look at the map, it makes perfect yeah, sense that it should right be in the same time zone as Britain yeah. and, of course, Portugal. But because, you know, Franco wanted to align himself with Hitler, he changed the time zone.
Whoa.
And it never got changed back. So there are parts of Spain where the sun doesn't rise until 8:30.
Oh.
Just part of the reason everybody sleeps so late.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Isn't that interesting?
That wow. is fascinating.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah.
I did not know that. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So yeah, number five, we've got plant slant. So think about eating more plants. I think all of us know this to be true. And it's hard because, you know, you hear all this stuff about eating more protein, like as you age, and it's hard to really know what works for your body. But, you know, a lot of protein, a lot of plants, you're not going to go wrong if you focus on those things. But beans especially, including fava beans, because this is protein. Black beans, soybeans, lentils are the cornerstone of most centurion diets. Meat is pretty rare. So for these people, they're only eating meat about 5 times a month. And serving sizes are pretty small of meat, which is just a few ounces, which is about the size of a deck of cards. So people who get 7 to 8 servings of fruits and vegetables live longer. They live longer. You guys know Megan Flake on my team. Yeah. That's her health hack. Is she has to have 7 different vegetables every day.
Wow, that's awesome.
And it doesn't necessarily mean like she's having 7 servings of vegetables, yeah. but it might be a salad with tomatoes and carrots and kale in it. So I just thought I'd love that health hack of hers.
Yeah, just bringing that's attention. Mm-hmm. Like bringing she attention. Has to think about her she vegetables every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has to think about it. So one thing that Dan suggested was to take your toaster off the counter and put snacks in a drawer that are just hard to get to, and instead put out fruits and vegetables so that you can see them. They're easy to access, and over time you will that builds on itself. The more you get a taste for fruit and vegetables, the more you like that taste. And I think for some people, it can be really it's hard on your body to all of a sudden eat a lot of fruits and vegetables. It tastes weird. You got a lot of gas going on, and you know, you have to like acclimate your body to it if your body's not used to it. So give yourself
that's
some
a great
time
point.
On that.
Yeah, I love that. And even
that gas point was a really great point, Wendy.
when you talked about farting, that was really yeah. great.
But hey, you know what? Maybe you're going to save someone from like going from like 0 fruits and vegetables to 8 and like wrecking their GI system. I think the goal is everything in moderation with this. So like don't just go 0 to 100 on this. Like edge it in. That's the whole point, is like tweaking your behavior to then have longevity over time, not like extreme to extreme to extreme. So I think that's actually a very good tip, and hopefully we're going to save some of you some indigestion by doing it more moderately. So if you fart less, just let Wendy know. That's the rule. So number 6 is wine at 5. And I thought this was actually quite comical, because they were saying people in all of the blue zones, except the Adventists, because they don't drink, drink alcohol moderately and regularly, which I thought was rather interesting. And he said moderate drinkers outlive non-drinkers. The trick, though, is to drink 1 to 2 glasses a day. with friends or food, and not to save up like all of your drinks for 1 week and have like 14 on a Saturday. So it's, again, the moderation. But I thought what this represented for me more than anything was the idea of like, you're not, you don't have, if wine's your thing or whatever your thing is, maybe it's chocolate, I don't know. But like, it wasn't about sacrificing everything in order to live this long life. Like, it is a, moderation is a beautiful thing. And if you have something that brings you great joy, wine or something else, like, it's okay to do that in moderation. So I thought that was interesting. So wine at five.
I love it. Okay. Number seven, belong, which I love this one. It's interesting. So they interviewed 263 centurions. So 263 people who lived to be over 100, and all but five belonged to some faith-based community. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lot.
That's crazy. Yeah. I was like, wow.
That's 98% almost. Yeah. Yeah. So denomination doesn't seem to matter in the study. Research shows that attending faith-based services four times per month will add 4 to 14 years of life expectancy.
Wow.
Yeah. That's amazing.
That's amazing. So, belonging to a faith-based community is one of the things. And just people who have 6 hours of face-to-face interactions daily live longer. So, belonging in a community, belonging in a road, a neighborhood that you get out and really know your neighbors, like that alone, 6 hours of face-to-face interactions daily make you live longer. And they're fun, or they can be at least.
Yeah, I love that. Well, who you surround yourself with matters too.
It's true.
You know? So, yeah. Well, and I would say eight's pretty similar, which is family first. Successful centurions in the blue zones put their families first. And that means keeping aging parents or grandparents nearby or actually even in the home. It lowers disease and mortality rates of children in the home too. So children that grew up around their grandparents can be a really powerful thing for kids as well as the grandparents. And number two is they commit to a life partner. This is especially true for men. Mm-hmm. The longevity statistics for unmarried men are shocking. Literally men, the best thing they could do to make themselves live longer is to get a partner. So this says you can add up to 3 years of life expectancy and then investing in their children with time and love. So, and then they'll be more likely to care for you when the time comes, hopefully. And that's why I did it.
Right. The only reason I do it with my kids.
The only reason.
I'm like, I'm going to love these guys because they're going to have to take care of me.
Yeah. You don't regularly say to your children, this is how we do it. Because the last couple years I did.
Well, you do actually. And that's one of the reasons it's great to have people who, like, you know, just even having my dad has come and lived with us for, you know, six weeks every year these last few years. And then having my kids watch me help my dad transition him down to Texas, it's really powerful for your kids to see you loving on your parents. Like, you want to be a role model for that because that will affect your longevity.
It does. Well, you know, and we hear that phrase all the time too, like, you teach people how to treat you, right? I think that also becomes really true when it comes to how we talk about our aging population, how we treat our aging population. Like, I think about, you know, even outside of our parents, like, our next door neighbor, Steve, is a single older guy. And this was his parents' house next door, like, built in 63. So it's been here a long time. And we take him dinner regularly. Like, we'll make an extra portion and bring him a home cooked meal. And having Quinn take it over. Like, I do think it's important to teach our younger generations how to treat our aging population, how to treat animals, how to treat the earth. Like, so I think it's totally spot on with that. I loved that.
It's very true, because we live in a country where we do a terrible job of that.
Yeah.
Like, our community fabric is very broken in the United States. I mean, you go to many, many countries and there's literally no homeless people.
Yeah.
Because the community takes care of them. And here our community fabric is so broken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Well, and it's, I think it's on us as leaders, and I know both of you have done this, and we work on this here in Dallas too. It's working on, like, how do we all as leaders help become an example to help solve that problem? And I'm not going to pretend to have all the answers, but I do think it starts one person at a time and one example at a time. And slowly we start to bring those communities back together. And I think as leaders, we have an amazing opportunity, especially for those of us in the real estate world, to be examples for that. Because we literally help shape what community is in a big way.
Well, and it can be really small.
Yeah.
It can be bringing your neighbor a meal. Once a year. I mean, it can be as small as that. So
that's right. Or your new neighbor.
It doesn't have to be some big groundbreaking thing.
No, again, it's changing just one small thing. Like you don't have to revolutionize it. It's one small thing. And I think about even like how many times you have new people move on the block. Do you go and welcome them and get to know them and like ask about them? I've lived in communities where like I had to like beg to get to know my neighbors, and it felt so lonely and isolating versus like in other communities we've lived in where the neighbors actually genuinely welcomed you and wanted to get to know you and let you know if your garage door was open. I mean, even just little bitty things build trust and community one step at a time. So yeah, it's you can start small and it all of a sudden becomes really big. The last one, which is number 9, I love because it ties so much into the 3 of our core values, which is having the right circle. And Dan calls it the right tribe, but I think for our world, it's the right circle, right? We know that the people you surround yourself with matter, and the people you spend the most time with matter, and your friends matter. They dictate a lot about your future and what your world looks like. And Dan researched this too and found that the world's longest living population, they either chose or were born into social circles that supported healthy behaviors. And so the Okinawans created Moes is the name of the groups, which are 5 friends that commit to each other for life, which I thought was really cool.
I love that.
I know.
I'm so in on that. That's not something, again, that we do. We don't commit to friendships for life. Sometimes we won't even have hard conversations to like save a relationship.
Yes.
Whatever. Like committing to 5 friends for life. I am here for that. Like that's amazing.
Yeah. And it's a choice.
I'm up
like
for
I love that it's like you're choosing that. And there are times if you're in relationship with someone long enough that you are going to have to fight for that relationship. And that's important to realize too, is that friendships don't happen by, you know, always just by happenstance for life. They happen by choice for life. And so love that it was
friendship is work.
It is work. Yes.
I think people think about having a marriage as work, but they don't really understand that. Mm-hmm. Anything worth having is work. And friendships are one of those. And you have to put time, energy, commitment, thinking, all of that into your friendships. Otherwise, they're not, you know, it's not just going to happen spontaneously. You can't be friends with someone and not see them for 10 years and then
all of a sudden it's still
expect to reap the benefits from that. Yeah. You know? So,
I love that one. You know, he was even showing research from the Framingham studies that show, you know, things like smoking and obesity and happiness and even loneliness are contagious. And so paying attention to what your environment and impacting positively or negatively the choices that you make, the people that you choose, you know, you kind of make your choices and then your choices choose you. So you have to kind of watch that. I thought was really interesting. Something Simon Sinek said that I thought was really interesting is he's long believed that Maslow's hierarchy of needs is upside down. He said, you know, we talk about the need to have like food and water and shelter is kind of your top needs. And he said, and then below that is community. And he said, I have long believed that if you have community, your community is not going to let you be hungry, thirsty, or homeless. And, you know, I think about even like Nick and I with our kind of our marriage covenant was like our friends and family will always have a warm bed to sleep in, a warm food, you know, warm meal on the table if they want it, and something to drink in their hands if they ever need it. And Like, it's kind of that philosophy. And I thought that was so interesting when he said that. He was like, you know, people can die of loneliness. People can commit suicide of loneliness and anxiety and depression, you know, just as much as they can from starvation and homelessness and hunger. And so I thought that was a really interesting take. I had never really heard it communicated that way, but it really resonated with me of like, you're right, creating that circle is so important. And that's really, you know, why we created Her Best Life, because being a leader is lonely. Being an entrepreneur can be lonely. And finding a circle of people that get you and don't need anything from you, but want everything for you is so rare and magical and hard to find. And it was cool to hear Dan talk about that, because I was like, yes, this is why we created Her Best Life. This is why we have Empire Circle. It's exactly for this reason. So it was cool.
And it's, you know, like yesterday, to your point of contagiousness, like yesterday our Empire Circle met and we talked about P&Ls and how to cut expenses. Yeah. And I can guarantee you that that concept was contagious. Like there was a couple, yes, of people who gave some examples, and then other people are like, oh my gosh, that's such a great idea. And they left like making plans to do better things for their P&L. So like it goes in all the different avenues of your life. And that's what gets us so excited about Empire Circle.
Yeah. Well, and I'll just remind everyone, by the time this podcast comes out, we'll be accepting new applications for our Empire Circle. So if any of this speaks to you, we do accept applications 4 times a year. And so one of our deadlines is going to be kind of end of April. And so if you are feeling called to apply, we would love to review your application. And don't forget that our big event is coming up in September. Our big Her Best Life event is coming up in September, which is in Miami this year. It's going to be amazing.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, we've got some really exciting things planned. And so get those tickets before they sell out.
I love that. Well, you guys, I'm so thankful for our time together with us today, and hopefully you're taking something away that you can adapt in your environment to help you live your big life longer. And you know, just to kind of review it, we talked about movement, right, and being outside in nature, finding your purpose, downshifting and removing that stress, right, giving the harahachi boo, the eat until you're satisfied, not until you're completely full. Making sure those fruits and veggies are in there. Don't forget a little enjoyment of wine or chocolate or whatever your fun is. find your sense of belonging, right? Find your sense of spirituality, or where your soul and spirit feels like it lives. Don't forget to put your family first. And last of all, remember that we here at Empire Building are here for you. Our Her Best Life community is here for you. And be here for each other and your communities, because your circle matters. So thanks for joining us today, guys. And if you loved this episode, please give us a 5-star rating and review, or share it with a friend, because that's how we spread the word. So thanks, guys.
Bye, guys.
Have a great week.